Hello everyone and welcome back to the Dubai Life podcast. I think this is now episode 11, so I hope you're all enjoying the show so far. If you are, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and please, please, please leave a 5-star rating or any rating. It all helps to get up the rankings and get more people listening to the Dubai Life podcast. This week we had Mr. Simon Spencer on the show. Simon's a really cool guy. Enjoyed sitting down with him, talked all about his journey from the UK to Dubai. We also touched on his experience with cross-country skiing, which is something that we definitely haven't talked about on the Dubai Life podcast before. So here we go. I hope you all enjoy and let me know your thoughts. You can reach me on Instagram at LiamJeffreyDXB. Thank you. Welcome back everyone to the Dubai Life podcast. This morning we have Mr. Simon Spencer live on the show. How are you doing, Simon?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Good morning, guys.
So Simon works at the very exciting project, The Heart of Europe. We actually took a trip out there a couple of weeks back.
Yeah,
we did. I was really impressed.
Yeah,
it's coming on a lot, isn't it?
Yeah,
hotels. The lobby's finished. You've got some show apartments there that you can see. Obviously, you've got the Seahorse Villas. And I tell you one thing that blew me away was the mansion.
Yes, that is.
Was that the
Sweden Palace.
Wow, yeah, it's insane. I did not expect it to be that level.
Yeah.
To have the finishing on an island like that is just insane. It's like something you'd expect in Emirates Hills or Dubai Hills Mansions or District 1. It's like it's really impressive. And there's only one of those left.
Yeah, there's one left. And it's
just bring the mic a bit closer.
It's got the skyline view as well.
I know. That gallery on the roof, that entertainment space, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, that is really, really beautiful.
And it's huge as well.
Massive.
It's massive. How many square feet?
Events in there. The whole thing's built up of 25,000 square foot.
Yeah, seriously.
So
impressive.
It is a big, big, big place.
And the people buying there, Simon, like on those, there's only one left right out of how many? Nine?
Nine in total, yeah.
What are they buying them for? Obviously, they're not going to live there the full time.
They're going to have these as entertainment houses and weekend houses or places to entertain for business.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Very interesting. We'll talk a bit more about that development first, but with the podcast being called The Dubai Life, why did you decide to... First of all, how long have you been here in Dubai?
This is my 7th year now.
Okay, so I'm just behind you. I'm on 6.
Yeah.
I was 6, actually, 2 days ago. 3 days ago, 27th of July, June.
Dubai anniversary.
Dubai anniversary, which we didn't do anything for at all. In fact, we forgot up until
did
about
you?
4 o'clock when my fiancé messaged me and said,
what
day is it?
Or Facebook reminds you.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Memories on Facebook. That's how I remember everything now. Forget birthdays and all sorts about Facebook. So 7 years.
Yeah.
7th year. Wow.
Flies by.
It's gone fast, you think?
Yeah.
What made you come to Dubai?
Well, I'm sure like lots of people, I came here firstly on holiday.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Came here on holiday.
Okay.
A business partner had just been here.
Okay.
On holiday to start off with.
Yeah.
We were doing photography. We were working in a photography studio, and I was doing the sales. I was selling the photography.
Got it.
To families and
back in the UK.
Back in the UK.
Got it.
That's
got
what
it.
We were doing, and we saw a market for it. So my business partner, she sort of said, "Look, go and have a little look.
Yeah.
Have a holiday in Dubai. See what you think."
Mm-hmm.
I was there here the first couple of days, and I was like, wow.
"Done, sold."
Yeah, we're doing
Got
it.
Tickets. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where did you stay when you came?
So we first lived in Ocean Heights.
Okay.
Marina. Yeah, we had two nights in the glamorous Rami Rose.
No.
In Teacom.
Did the same.
No
had four
way.
Nights.
Did you?
So we landed at like midnight.
Yeah.
And we had the first night in Media One Hotel,
yeah.
which was really nice, like for the first place.
Yeah, that's a pretty
and
good
then,
spot to rock up.
You know, and then we were in the Rami Rose for four nights. I think we lasted two, and then we were out into a studio just to get our own
place.
Yeah. We're not going to get sponsored for the Rami Rose on the Dubai Life podcast. It was an interesting entrance into the world of Dubai.
Exactly.
I guess. Interesting start. So that's interesting. And then you went to Ocean Heights.
Ocean Heights, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you enjoyed it
there.
That's
around,
Marina, right?
So many of the buildings in the Marina.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trying to find something that was It's difficult to our liking, first, isn't it?
Yeah. Difficult at first. And did you stay there for like a few years?
2 years. Mm. Yeah.
We've moved, I think, 5 times. This is the only year we're not going to move. This is the first year we're going to stay in a place for more than one year.
Wow.
So we've seen a bit of we've lived in the Greens, we've lived in the Palm, we've lived in JVC, in the Marina twice.
I've done a similar. I've been hopping around all sorts of places.
It's nice though. I don't mind it. I don't move into a complete nightmare. Yeah, it's a disaster. But once you get settled in, it's nice to have like a new fresh start. It almost is. Every different location.
Exactly.
You know, you get used to the community there, and I really like it.
Yeah.
So you're in Ocean Heights, and obviously you had the photography business back home.
Yeah.
Did you carry on that here?
Or yeah, that's what we set up.
Okay,
here.
So you set it up here.
That's where the business was here. That was in Media City.
Nice.
So that was fantastic. That was from scratch, completely, in the Tecum Authority.
Okay.
Really good way to set up a business.
Yeah.
Business here.
You'd recommend that to people.
Recommend it to people. 50-50 partnership without a local partner, and yeah. We set it up and did that for the first 2 years,
uh-huh.
And then I sold my shares onto another business partner.
Nice.
So it was successful. It was a good way into
life
Dubai.
In Dubai. Cool.
Yeah.
And then obviously now you're in real estate. How did that? I don't want to put you on the spot too much.
How did you fall into this trap of real estate? It's a funny one, isn't it? Well, we were doing photography for.
You got some jobs
a company.
For
company.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So we were doing photography as a for real estate.
Got it.
And someone said to me in real estate, "Oh, you'd be a good character. You'd do really, really well at this." And I was in an office, and I looked at the figures on the boards, and I was like, "I could fancy a bit of that." So I was completely open.
Yeah.
I just could make a completely fresh start,
mm-hmm.
And that's what I did. I started off leasing in Arabian ranches for
nice.
A very good company, Ascot & Co.
Okay.
And went on to sale 6 months later, and very luckily did my first sale in Jumeirah Gulf Estates.
Okay.
Following after that.
Very nice.
Yeah, that was a good entry.
How did you find the difference with leasing and sales? To be completely honest, I did rentals on the Palm for a few months, and it really didn't click for me. I didn't really enjoy it, but went on to sales on the Palm and did really well. I found it quite difficult with the rentals.
I think it's healthy to start off with.
It's good. It's good experience.
To get to know the areas,
etc.
And also... money-wise, to feel that you're doing deals quicker.
Yeah.
You can do a couple a week, and if you feel good about yourself,
then
the transition into sales, fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, it's
proper, isn't it?
It's smoother. Someone has a very, very clear picture of what they want.
Mm-hmm.
I think if someone's leasing, they're probably looking at a few different areas. They're not really that focused. You find them something like it.
Yeah.
I think it's also the loyalty.
Yeah.
If you in rentals, someone can turn around to you and say, "Sorry, I found something."
Exactly.
In sales, you get hold of the person.
You get a relationship.
You get a relationship.
To build
you're really kind of you're changing their one of their biggest life steps.
Yes. It's a serious life decision. Yeah.
Which is wonderful. It's really, really nice.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. So obviously you work there and you enjoy it. You said you moved Gulf Estates.
Yes.
It's a great area, isn't it?
Good area. Really, really good area.
It's Do you play golf?
I am a terrible at golf.
My
grandma would be ashamed. She's a very good golfer herself.
Is she?
Yeah.
Hope she's not listening. But I mean, we always talk about golf on this show because I'm a golf geek.
Yeah.
But Jumeirah Golf Estates is insane.
It's a good
like
course.
The golf courses, the Earth course is literally one of the best. I think it's in the top 25 in the world.
Oh,
obviously, they've got the race to Dubai.
Spoil out.
And we're in, golf paradise.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that, you know, I haven't seen, apart from the Hillside Villas and a couple of the others that you see, I haven't been inside much at Jumeirah Golf Estates.
Whispering Pines is wonderful.
Whispering Pines.
Whispering Pines feels that you're somewhere completely different.
Yeah.
They've done a good job with creating like little cul-de-sacs there, and the villas aren't the biggest. That's always what people sort of said, is that they acquired online and they were like, it's a 4-bed.
Mm.
And then they'd come. And it would almost be like in the UK, you have a semi-detached house.
Yes.
They've made it not feel like it's attached to another house, but it really still is.
Yeah.
But the positioning feels that when you're in the house, you're not, and then when you're in the garden, you've still got that privacy. But yeah, that's a really nice community.
Yeah.
Kids out playing. It feels that you're out, the city a little bit, and just kind of
Like suburbia. A suburb. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Nice. And you're with your wife over here, obviously.
Yes, I met my wonderful wife, Yelena, here.
You met her here, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, okay. Very glamorously in Mahiki.
Typical Dubai's clothes now, isn't it?
Shockingly.
Yeah, I know.
God, those because were the we days. Weren't going along.
Yeah, I know, yeah. When everyone grew up, that was the demise of Mahiki.
Yeah.
Okay, fantastic. And you got married here in Dubai?
Married here in Dubai.
How was that?
Really, honestly, a wonderful experience.
Yeah,
we're gonna have another wedding back in the UK.
That's what we're thinking.
Such a good way to do it. Honestly, Liam, I'd really recommend it.
Mm.
Because it's a very intimate experience here.
Mm.
Obviously, there's only one place you can go at the Christchurch in
Jebel Ali. Okay,
fantastic experience there. And then obviously you can choose somewhere to have your sort of a ceremony
reception
and
kind of thing.
Afterwards.
Where did you go after?
We went to the Madinat. We went to Souk Madinat, a place called Folly.
Nice. I was there a few weeks ago.
Cracking venue.
It's awesome, isn't it?
Yeah.
What time of the year did you get married?
It was in March.
Okay, perfect. So you got to use the outside terrace with the view of the Burj Khalifa. Yeah. And
so it worked perfectly. We turned up. Sunset was coming down. And then we were moved to this area where we had dinner. I had the views towards the Burj Al Arab.
Nice.
And obviously for the people that second time to Dubai, they were like, wow, look at that.
Yeah.
It's a Burj Al Arab.
Yeah, it's real Dubai. Like, this is
so
what they've
Dubai.
Seen on all the Instagram photos and all.
You've got like this lovely feeling. That's great. And then you've got like Burj Al Arab, it's very iconic sort of thing. So that worked perfect, and they were brilliant there.
Really, very accommodating.
I think we were meant to finish around about 12 o'clock, but we ended up leaving around about 3:30 a.m. So nice. they were brilliant there, really really good, and food every time. We've been back quite a lot.
Yeah, it is.
The food there
really
is
nice.
Phenomenal.
Yeah,
yeah.
They always change the main menu as well.
It's
Nick and Scott.
Nick
is
and
it?
Scott. Yeah.
They've done quite a few. Restaurants in Dubai, I think, individually.
Yeah.
I think they've got, is it not Aprons and Hammers?
It's
Pots, Pans and
Boards. I saw it on the back of the.
Yeah,
they've got quite a few things.
They've got a new pub in the H Hotel.
Have they?
Yeah. I can't remember the name now. Something Lion. The Lion, maybe.
Okay.
But I've heard it's really cool. Yeah, like really nice food, but
no,
like a traditional kind of British
really
pub.
Well. Yeah.
They've got a good. They've got a good mind, I think, when it comes to creating a nice venue, setting it up and getting everything nice.
I think, and just every time we've been there, the staff have been very attentive, and it's just a good spot.
Yeah,
that's not a plug, by the way. That's
yes, it is.
There.
If you are interested in sponsoring the Dubai Life podcast, Nick and Scott, get in touch. Okay, so, I mean, what, just taking it back a little bit, what would you say for someone who's coming over to Dubai? What advice would you give them in the first sort of 6 months? Because that's difficult for everyone that I spoke to and for myself as well, starting up. Obviously, you had your own business, so I guess that was a busy time as well. But give someone a bit of advice for when they're coming to Dubai, starting off.
My advice would be, honestly, I've seen people come and go very, very quickly here.
It does happen, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Which is a shame.
I would say try and live within your means.
Yes.
You come and if people get into that, I'm on holiday,
which is very easy to do.
Got lots of money in the bank already. You're gonna eat into your savings very very quickly. So I would personally recommend
just chilling out.
Get yourself set up. Work hard, and obviously enjoy life to start off with as well. But just live within your means, really.
Good.
I think that's a sensible,
that
sensible
is very
thing
sensible.
To advise.
That is very
I'm
sensible.
Really getting
you
old now.
Really, yeah, I know. The answer might have been different a couple of years back.
Yeah.
And did you consider anywhere else before you came to Dubai?
You know what? No.
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 You just saw it and just knew it was
clear,
the right place.
It was a clear,
clear cut winner.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Interesting.
So.
And what was, obviously you had your business back home. Did you do university? Did you?
No, so I was working for someone back home.
Okay, so you didn't have the business back home.
No, there was no, it was basically straight out of university.
Where did you go to university?
I did graphic design.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which university
did you go to? I did Gloucestershire.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's a nice part of the world in Cheltenham and everything. That's my that's my home.
Okay, nice. and you enjoyed university?
Well, I was actually ski racing for GB. So I did cross-country ski racing for GB. Ah. Yeah. So I did a lot of my education when I was away in other places. So
cross-country ski racing looks. I always used to watch it on the Winter Olympics when I was a kid. It looks brutal.
Yeah, it is brutal. I think it's
how do you train for that? Like being in the UK, you used to travel a lot.
So you do this crazy thing. Like you might not see me, but I go out to the Alcantara tracks here.
Yeah.
On the cycle tracks, you have these metal ski that has wheels on the end, and you roll
a big roller
ski.
Skis.
Exactly. It's massive in Europe. Huge. They actually have even. They have competitions just for the roller skiing, like in Austria and Switzerland.
How did you get into that?
My dad was in the military,
uh-huh.
So we spent a lot of time in snowy countries and going skiing on holiday. My dad's always cross-country skied.
Really?
So I was downhill skiing and alpine skiing traditionally as well. But got into it. And I've always been pretty good at my cardiovascular.
Like long distance.
Yeah, it's a tough sport.
So. What type of distances do you cover on those? So
in the men's competitions, you'd do from 10K all the way up to 50K. And you'd have a sprint section as well.
50K?
50 kilometres, yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed the sprinting because you'd start all together.
Yeah, just like mad.
So it's just like a proper
crazy.
Like,
yeah.
And I remember being on the start line on it's like the junior world champs or something like that, and this Russian turns to me and he goes, "I will eliminate you." And he was about 18 and about 6'4", just that absolute monster. But I beat him.
Nice to meet you, mate.
That's what's made me pretty competitive.
Yeah, I think you need that. I've always played sports growing up, and it's important when you get into the real world, you need a bit of that edge. You need a bit of that competitive edge. Did you ever do a 50k?
I did do a 50k, and I was blowing.
Really? Have you run a marathon before?
I've not done a marathon. I've done a few.
If you've done a 50k on that,
triathlons and things like that.
It must
be
really really tough on the glutes and the hamstrings.
Thing is, it uses absolutely every single muscle group in your
do
body.
Do you have poles? You have poles as well, yeah.
Yeah. So when you're poling, you're engaging your abs.
Yeah,
through. So then you're using your biceps, triceps, shoulders,
and then it's legs and then it's back again.
Yeah. Yeah, if you really want to get fit, check out cross-country skiing.
I'll tell you what, that machine now, everyone's using that ski machine.
The upside-down rower.
Yeah, basically, just tipped a rower upside down. Yeah, that's become really popular all of a sudden, hasn't it?
That's it. Yeah, they've got those in all the gyms
all the new gyms, yeah. They've got those.
It's a good movement.
Yeah.
It's a good movement.
Different, isn't it, I guess? Because, like you say, you engage everything.
You do. And
one exercise.
There's something of being about being out there in the middle of nowhere, going through some tracks and trees in like Norway or Austria,
just lose yourself and just get into your rhythm. It's almost like meditation, I guess.
It is beautiful.
Yeah,
it's really.
I've done 3 marathons now.
Wow!
But I've never done like a proper marathon. I've always just done it on my own.
Yeah.
So the first one I did, this is a true story. I don't think I spoke about this before. Last year, my friend was here on holiday, the guy that's actually here now, Alex.
Wow.
And we were just talking, and my girlfriend at the time, Kelsey, was with us, and I said, she was training for a 10K.
Yeah.
And she was getting really nervous about training for a 10K, and she was like, I don't feel well, I can't train. And she was a bit poorly, she had a cold.
Yeah.
And I was like, you don't need to train, you can finish your 10K, you're not going to get your best time, but you can still do it, fine, just relax. And I was like, I could do a marathon tomorrow. Mm. Like, I wouldn't do well, but I would finish it.
Yeah.
And she went, you couldn't do a marathon. And at the time, I was doing nothing. I probably had, I used to play football. I probably had like 3 months off playing football.
Yeah.
I hadn't been to the gym. I'd done nothing. like literally nothing. I put quite a bit of weight on. I was like, I could do a marathon. And she was like, no, you couldn't.
Give it a go.
Yeah, do it. She was like, no, you couldn't. You couldn't finish a marathon now. You've not even been training. I was like, yes, I could, definitely. I could easily finish a marathon. I might not finish in any good time, but I could definitely finish it. And then just planted a seed in my head, and I'm like, I'm going to do a marathon. I'm just going to do it. Like, I'm just going to go on my own and run it. So I dropped my friend off at the airport. We went for Black Tap Burgers that afternoon. Yeah. Dropped him off at the airport quite late at about midnight. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, didn't think. Dropped him off at the airport, and I just said to him, you know what? I'm going to run a marathon tonight. I just decided. I just feel like doing it. And he was like, no way, like laughing. So I got back. We were living in Belgravia, JVC. Yeah. So I got back, literally did a little warm-up inside, grabbed a bottle of water, went out to the track. Like, there's a small running track, 700 metres in JVC next to Belgravia. Went outside there, started at 1:30 in the morning after I dropped him off at the airport. And by the time he'd landed, I'd sent him a bit. I'd finished a marathon.
Good. Well, you just did it around
Did it around there, 60 laps.
And my goodness.
So I started off and I was like, right, I've got to pace myself, because that's the one thing everybody says. Don't kill yourself at the start.
Yeah.
So I started off and I put a Joe Rogan podcast in 2 hours. And I just thought, I'm not going to look at the distance. I had Strava. I'm not going to look at the time. I'm just going to take my time and just go slow. And I was telling myself just to slow down, slow down. And after 2 hours, I felt great. I was like, this is really good. Like, I can keep this going. I'm fine. And my friend had recently done a marathon and he did 3.5 hours. And I played football with him. And I thought, I'm fitter than him when I play football. So I think I'll be about the same. After 2 hours, I took my headphones out, looked at my phone, and I'd done just under 10 miles.
Wow.
And I was thinking, sugar. Like, I was thinking, shit.
This is quite tough.
I've got another 60 miles.
Yeah.
And that's when I just thought, oh my God. And then around the 13th mile, that's when I really hit the wall.
Yeah, I've heard quite a few people.
And the thing is, I didn't buzz up. I didn't have anything. Yeah. Like, I was chafing. I had shorts on, which were basically lined, like swimming shorts.
Did you eat anything?
No, nothing. Goodness. Didn't take anything with me. So I was, but it, I'm that type of person that I had to finish it. So, but I was almost in tears. Like, it took me, I think it took me 5.5 hours, 5 hours, something. It was my toenails were coming up. Like, I had
you, like,
trainers on. They did, like, at 5 in the morning, the workers started coming to get onto the site, which is, I told them, they must be, it was all dark. All the lights went off. And they must have been thinking, what is this guy doing? But yeah, so since then I did a marathon Christmas time with my brother.
Yeah.
Came back, we did it, and that was much better, because when you're running on a track,
consistently,
it's just like a head, like, it screws with your head. It's just not good. It's all mental. But then we went running, like, in my hometown around Wigan. It was really nice, like, up the hills and stuff. It was so much easier.
Yeah, it's good.
Just and running with someone as well was a lot better. And then I came back, and it might have been February. Maybe March, we did. I did a marathon on the Palm Crescent.
Yes.
That was so. We parked at the one and only.
Yeah. Love
like
that
we're
place.
Gonna we're gonna do. We kind of calculated it as 11 kilometers there and back.
Yeah, it is all the way along.
Yeah,
the,
yeah. So we calculated it to finish back at the one, not the one Palm, the Royal, the one and only.
Yes, right. The far
so we
end,
finished
yeah.
there, and it killed us. You know, that was even worse, because obviously it's a bit warmer.
Yeah.
And the hotels. Like, because you're used to driving, so you think it's quite short.
Yeah, you drive along there, and it's a couple of minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, right, there's Kempinski
exactly,
again.
Exactly. But when you run in, and it takes you like 10 minutes to get past the Atlantis, like maybe a lot longer, it's just such a drain. And we ended up finishing the marathon at like 2-3 in the morning, because we wanted to do it at night time at the Kempinski.
Wow.
The car was parked at the one and only. It took us like an hour and a half to limp back to the car after we finished the marathon.
Yeah.
So we finished the marathon in like 5 hours, and then we had to literally crawl back to the car. It took us another hour and a half to get back to the car. We couldn't walk.
Goodness me.
So that was my 3 marathons. But I enjoy it. It's I've always done like I did cross country when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I've always been quite good at long distance.
Yeah.
Like, say long distance. Marathon for me is not difficult in terms of aerobic. Like, I don't get tired. Like, you're not out of breath.
Your threshold must be quite.
But I'm only going really slow. I mean, 5 hours is not a fast pace. It's
like
if you did like, you know, a short run at that pace, you wouldn't even feel it. But it's just a pain.
Yeah,
you get in your joints. Like, definitely. The pain in your joints, your ankles.
Yeah,
like your calf and your legs. You just sheer pain. It's not
it's
aerobically tiring.
No,
it's just all mental. But yeah, that's interesting.
My sister, her boyfriend's gonna be doing an Ironman shortly. And that,
yeah, I got a friend who's doing that.
Insane training.
Is it the UK one?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think there's obviously a few, but there's one coming up in Bolton, I think, near us. That might be the Ironman UK. I think that's the one.
He's doing it.
Yeah.
That is tough.
So what is that? That's like a, obviously, swim, run, and bike ride.
Yeah, but like extreme. I think you finish with a marathon.
Yeah.
There's a marathon involved.
We had Ruth here. I don't know if you ever met Ruth. She did the Dubai one.
Did she?
I think it took 8 hours.
That is incredible.
To do anything for 8 hours, anything like exercise wise, is just brutal. Because it's different. Like, you get obviously the super athletes who finish it really quick, and that's difficult. But then just to keep going, even if you're not that fit, but just to keep going for 8 hours, your body must be in just sheer pain.
Yeah,
it's impressive. So let's talk a little bit more about the completely switching up the topics. Let's talk about the Heart of Europe project, because I'm fascinated by it.
Yeah.
And I know everyone's kind of got their eye on it. I think since I've been here in Dubai, everyone's been fascinated by the World Islands and what they're going to do with it.
Yeah, it's a mega, mega project. It's so unique. That's the thing. And I mean, it's a project that's very, very inspiring to work on. And they're doing something that's completely, completely unique and a world's first, especially with those floating villas.
Yeah, I think they're the ones that everybody knows. Yeah.
It's iconic.
Yeah, it is like, iconic.
From
only
when
in
they
Dubai
launched it.
Kind of thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember seeing them. There was a model at JBR which they put out in front of the walk.
Yeah.
I remember seeing it. I was like, oh my God, I've not seen anything like that before.
Yeah. It's great because you take some people out there who have obviously got an abundance of property, a huge portfolio. And then you see their faces when they actually see it in real life. That's the thing. It's like, yes, it looks impressive on a model or some pictures or something, but when you see it and you actually realise, goodness me, this is how well it's done as well.
Yeah.
That is where people
It did surprise me, the floating seahorse. The being in the bedroom and just feeling how it was almost like you were in the house. I expected it to be quite floaty and moving around.
Yeah,
just not
it
solid,
feels very...
But it's
yeah.
like the floor's like literally like you're standing on a normal property. It's really solid and well built.
Yeah. No, completely. Which is what you want. You want to be down there and feel, okay,
comfortable.
This is a cure. I could sleep here.
Yeah.
Could have a sound night's sleep. But also, from the most of them that have been sold, we've sold over 95 of them now.
Wow.
There's only going to be 131 in total. Okay. Most people have bought them for making money, basically the returns.
Got it.
So they're going to be generating a huge amount of income from the hotel pool.
Okay, so far we've obviously got the floating seahorses, the hotels, Côte d'Azur and
Portofino.
Then what is it? Côte d'Azur.
So like the French Riviera.
Yeah, French Riviera style, and then obviously the Palace.
Yeah.
And you're offering like a guaranteed return.
Yeah.
Okay, and it's 10%.
At the moment, until the end of July,
uh-huh.
We've put together 10% net for 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
So literally, after 10 years, you get your money back.
Exactly.
And whatever the property value is at that time, and then you have that, as profit.
Exactly. You've got the property.
Yeah.
You've got the property there. So it's. I mean, it's good. It's because tourism here is.
Exactly.
That's the sector. That is the sector, and people are always looking for something that's...
And something
different.
So unique, the concept of taking out on the speedboat.
Yeah.
And will there be helicopters going on?
There'll be helicopters, different modes of transport and everything. It's, also because it's going to be little bits of Europe.
Yeah.
So
I love the fact that you've got like the rain and the snow.
Yeah, there's going to be a little rain bit... Simulating Europe
in the summer. British summer.
Yeah, Switzerland's gonna have sections where there's like a snow plaza. It's mega, absolutely mega. And you experienced the snow in Sweden, didn't you?
That was amazing.
Yeah,
literally. So I would seriously recommend anyone that's looking for an investment to go and look at it. And it's not like you think that it's just this crazy project that's super expensive, but it's not. It's reasonable.
Yeah.
And for a
definitely
for us, not a small amount of money, but for a good, you know, a good starting point. You can get some really good investment options there.
Definitely. I mean, Côte d'Azur is starting now. We're selling those at 1.7 million dirhams.
Yeah.
It's good because for the people that have come on board with us, they've seen a healthy capital uplift as well.
Yeah.
Which is good, especially in this market now.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And when are we expecting the first apartments to hand over?
So the first one is going to be Portofino. Those are handing over as a soft launch at the end of this year. So, okay.
So that's the hotel that we saw.
Yeah,
the lobby. There.
Yeah, it went in the lobby. Very nice. Top of the rooms there as well. And that's the Mina's first family only hotel as well. So it's a really neat concept.
Yeah.
Really nice concept.
And then after that, we've got
the Seahorses are going to be handing over at the same time, phase one of that. Mm-hmm. That's obviously going to bring a huge amount of traffic with people. Yeah. Wanting to experience that as individuals, as hotel guests.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to really cover social media. People already are seeing this from ourselves going out there.
Yeah.
And we're getting calls already.
Yeah.
Can we go and stay?
Yeah. Just wait.
Yeah. So it's good.
Have you seen interest pick up over the last, I guess the last year or so?
We've had a very, very healthy, very, very healthy year.
Yeah.
I'd say, especially now where we are, you can go out there and you can see, wow, there's a huge amount of progression with the construction.
You can see it.
You can see it's happening. And because we're not doing something easy. We're building on islands.
Yeah.
So a huge amount of the work is obviously in the ground.
Yeah.
So when we're building up, that's the easy bit, really.
Yeah, exactly. All the planning as well that has to go into
it,
making
all
sure it's secure, all the approvals, the
working
planning.
Working with the master developer, Nikhil, all of these things, getting everything in place. And the thing is, we're not just doing this for a short term. We're doing this for the longevity of the project as well. So
nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would definitely recommend people to just go out there 100%. And take a look. If you're looking for investment options, it's worth going and seeing it and taking, a few hours out of your day and just, it will surprise people for sure. I didn't expect it to be like that.
Yeah, it was clear to see you guys were impressed.
So, as I mentioned yesterday when we spoke, we always ask a few questions on the Dubai Life podcast.
Yeah.
First of all, favourite restaurant, but we always kind of go high end, and we always go like just a normal basic.
Where would you just go?
Yeah,
like
a standard takeaway or standard like main meal.
Yeah.
We've had some crazy answers. We've had from KFC to some really boutique Indian place in Deira. So
yeah,
what do you go for on maybe a Saturday cheat day? What do you get? What do you order? Where do you go?
Like Saturdays.
Yeah.
There's a really good roast.
Oh, okay.
At what's it called? At the Duck Dubai
Hook.
Hills.
Duck Hook.
Amazing.
Awesome,
that
isn't
is
it?
Really,
I love
really
those two restaurants.
Yeah.
The one across the road, Hill House, has recently won, I think, Best Chef in Dubai.
Yeah.
Recently won an award.
No,
but the food in both of those places, they're both Jamura restaurants, they're really nice.
They've done very well with those.
Yeah,
very
I always, because I'm there literally every day, and I always speak to the team, and they're really, really nice guys as well. They've done two great concepts.
Yeah.
Do you know what I like about that place is you order water, still or sparkling, at the start of the meal, and it's refillable for the whole time.
That's
just
good.
Keep filling it up. So you pay, I think, 15 dirhams, but you just can keep refilling it. And they,
because sometimes you go for dinner here and you end up spending,
I know, little tiny bottles
on water.
It's a joke. Yeah.
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 No, I like that. And if I was going out with Yelena or something, if it's a special occasion, we tend to sort of go to we like Folly.
Folly, yeah, okay.
That's been Valentine's, that's been birthdays. They always put
getting
together
a serious
nice
plug on this podcast.
Yeah.
It's nice.
The
I went
thing
to
is, we're so spoiled here.
Oh, it's ridiculous. It's like last night we went to Avli. Have you heard of Avli in DIFC?
No.
It's, Tasha. She does Tasha's restaurant. She's got a few concepts now. She's got Flamingo Rooms in Jumeirah Al Nasim, which is amazing.
Beautiful.
Love
that's
that.
Beautiful. Yeah.
The pasta, lobster pasta, comes out. Everybody gets it when you go. It's just lobsters flying past. It's amazing.
Wow.
Like, literally, you get lobster, you share it. It's massive, and it's all mixed in, and they serve it to you. It's beautiful. But we went to Avli last night, which is a Greek concept in DIFC.
Oh, I love Greek food.
Really,
yeah.
really
yeah.
nice. Really, really good food. I would definitely recommend that. And then after that, we went to Cipriani's, which is my favourite restaurant in Dubai, for the ice cream.
Yeah.
Which is the best ice cream in the world.
Yeah.
And the lemon meringue cake is like eating a cloud. It's just perfect, so soft. So
nice.
Yeah. We had a nice night last night. We got some good food. Moving on now to Dubai bucket list, which we kind of always get the same answer. So I hope you've not got the same idea. What is your...
I imagine I've heard everyone's like, yeah, I want to do the skydive.
Skydive.
I mean, that's pretty cool, isn't it?
It's pretty cool. It's not getting away from that. Is there anything, I mean, 7 years, is there anything that you've not done that you thought you wanted to do when you first came over?
Well, there's things that have come up.
So much has come up, hasn't it? Since I've moved over, literally.
So many things.
Every year, it's like Dubai is just like the next version. It's just improved every year.
Yeah. No, I mean, I love going out and obviously and doing lots of photography and taking pictures of the new ever changing skylines, etc. And then it's exploring more.
No.
I mean, even if you just go and like, I love cars, so I've taken my car out to Jebel Jais early in the morning.
Yeah.
Have a good proper drive around there.
I need to do more of
that.
There. I need to see the country.
Going out and experiencing. I didn't bully my wife into getting a Jeep, but I said, look, a Jeep would be a really good safe option for you on the roads. And
I can use it at the weekends.
I can use it to go out in the desert in. So that's fun. I think we've done, as our friendship group, we've done lots of like exploring out.
I've seen
the
that. It looks really nice. To get the barbecue going.
You'll have to come along.
I know, I will
it's
do, yeah.
It's a really, really nice thing to do. Barbecue, out in the desert, sunset. Great.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks really nice. How far do you go?
It's not that far.
It's not, is it?
It really isn't. 20, you drive for 20, 25 minutes.
And you're in the
desert.
Then
there's a little spot we've sort of found near a tree and with some rolling dunes, 10 minutes into the desert.
Yeah.
It's not that bad.
That's a good one. Bad. I definitely want to get out there. A couple of people actually, one guy invited me out. He's like really into serious desert. Dune buggying, I guess you call it. And he's like, there's like a line of them, and they go out and they've got the walkie talkies.
That's
and
so
like, he takes it serious. Yeah. But he said, you need to come out and experience.
There's some good groups out there.
Yeah.
There's some off roading groups.
That's it, yeah. I definitely have to give it a go.
It's a good, fun experience.
And finally, obviously, you've been in real estate, so you've seen some pretty impressive places.
Yeah.
If money was no object, where would you live in Dubai?
Personally, for me, I would live on the Palm Jumeirah.
Okay.
And I would have a beach villa. That would be the ultimate goal. I'd get up in the morning.
Yeah.
Have a swim on the beach. Maybe a paddleboarding session or something.
Yeah.
That would do nicely.
Yeah, lifestyle. Perfect. Yeah. What style would you go for?
I would probably take...
Would you build something like quite... clean and modern, or would you get something more homely, like more classic?
I'd probably have the classic shell,
yeah,
but then kind of modernize it a little bit inside.
I saw a really nice villa yesterday at Dubai Hills, which has just been finished, and it's a Mediterranean theme, which is not really what I'd go for. I'd probably go for something a little bit more modern, but inside it was just really well done. It was classic but not too gorish. It wasn't too strong. It was perfect.
Nice.
Literally
like that.
Yeah, I love seeing these places. It gives you inspiration for what you want to have in your dream home.
So much beautiful property out there, isn't there?
Yes, we're spoiled.
Yeah.
Golf, restaurants, houses, things to do. It's it's the Dubai life, I guess.
Yeah. I don't turn my head every time I see a Ferrari now.
I know. I'm just used to it now. My friends come over, mate, and he's like, oh my God, take a picture of all the car. And I'm like, didn't even realise. But if you see those cars, like where I'm from in Wigan, you'd be like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, unbelievable. But you do get... you get used to it, I guess. Simon, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for coming down.
Thank you.
It's 9 o'clock now. Have you got a busy day?
Got quite a few things.
You out on the islands today?
I will probably be out on the island later this afternoon.
Nice. Yeah. It's always nice, isn't it, to just go out and...
different every day as well.
Boat,
so
it's not
nice.
A typical office job, which is cool. But yeah, we'll have to do it again. Thank you so much for coming down.
Thank you.
Best of luck with your day and the rest of the week. And that's it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Good man. Jeez, good man. You.